Reincarnated for Revenge. Chapter 451. In Disbelief. After she finished speaking, she stormed off with the indignant Marcia. This foolish woman actually dared to harbor ill intentions Toto and Callum. I'm going to teach her a lesson. The sound of the door being locked echoed, leaving behind a silence in the room so profound that it was as if life itself had ceased to exist. Although she eventually showed up, the mere thought of her reluctance to come until this moment, or perhaps only being persuaded by Yulisa's relentless insistence, left Callum feeling suffocated. He thought she didn't care about him at all, not in the slightest. Ironically, his body betrayed him. From the moment he heard Callista's detached voice, his body felt as though it was being tortured, as if a fire was spreading throughout his entire being. He sat up, lips pressed together, and legs arched. At that moment, he didn't want Callista to notice anything amiss with his physical state. The room was so quiet that one could hear a pin drop. Callista had been standing all this while and only moved after a quarter of an hour. During this time, neither of them spoke. It was the first time things had been so tense between them. Many closer. Don't come any. Just as Callista wanted to draw closer, Callum suddenly stopped her. Callista paused and furrowed her brows in confusion. Callum, however, had his eyes closed, resting his chin on his knees as he caught his breath. If you're not willing, don't come over. Callum had come to a realization. There's no point in insisting if Callista is unwilling. Even if I manage to win her over, what then? If she wants to leave, she'll still leave. She was rational, independent, and had a clear sense of self, judgment. If he couldn't win her heart, it was utterly pointless. And so, at that moment, he found himself rather ridiculous. It was a feeling that was both humiliating and degrading, yet when combined, it was simply laughable. The most amusing part was that he harbored hopes deep within his heart. He hoped that the reason she sought him out in the end was that she was ready. He was utterly helpless against her allure, her scent seeping into his being like a lethal poison. His body craved her intensely, yet his rationality forced him to resist for certain reasons. It was as if he was engaged in a futile struggle. A thousand thoughts whirled through his mind. Despite his eyes being closed, his ears remained attuned to the sound of her footsteps. Just as expected, she indeed stopped moving. Callum's face turned deathly pale. In this stifling silence, Callum was on the verge of confronting her. If she wasn't ready, why did she come, giving me hope only to let me down? Does she find amusement in my emotional roller coaster all because of her? Had he not been drugged, had he not been bound, Callum would have certainly stormed out to clear his mind. Only a madman would have done such a ridiculous thing as he did that night. It was nothing short. Just when he was on the verge of suffocation from despair, Callista took another step. At that moment, Callum almost opened his eyes in surprise and joy. However, upon seeing her, he gritted his teeth and stubbornly reiterated his point again. I've warned you. If you're not ready, don't come over, he said. His tone was rather stern, and his eyes were reddened from restraint. He glared at her intensely, like a cornered beast, his eyes filled with a profound longing and repression for flesh and blood. His body was visibly tense, as if he was ready to pounce at any moment. Finally, Callista let out a long, deep sigh. She walked over and sat on the edge of the bed. Her gaze held a complexity he had never seen before. In the end, all that complexity turned into determination. She squinted slightly and suddenly asked with a smile, "Do you want me to leave?" Her words felt like a slap in the face. He didn't understand why she would possibly think he wanted her to leave when he was in such a state. Callum opened his mouth to speak, but no word came out. His face turned crimson with anger, but even then, he couldn't bring himself to rebuke her. He simply couldn't do so. Suddenly, Callista reached out, unfastening the button of her suit jacket. Callum's gaze hardened. His eyes bore into her like a menacing wolf. They were barely half a meter apart, close enough for him to distinctly catch the cool, intoxicating fragrance wafting from her. Every whiff was dangerously captivating. He suddenly turned his head away, his body rigid as he asked, "Do you even know what you're doing?" Callista casually tossed her suit aside and nonchalantly ran her fingers through her hair. "Don't you dare to look anymore," she asked. "That's impossible." Callum turned his head to glare at her, his fork glistening with sweat. A few strands of short hair clung to his forehead. At that moment, his purple eyes were unfathomably deep. He had practically etched every detail of her appearance into his mind with an insatiable desire, especially when he saw her half-smile. The potency of the medicinal effects within him and his own impulses was on the verge of consuming his sanity. "Are you truly willing?" His voice suddenly dropped to a low rasp, a faint tremble discernible upon careful listening. Even though his body was screaming out for her, he still wanted to respect her wishes. The first time, they had fumbled through it, lost in confusion. But for the second time, he hoped it would be a sweet memory filled with mutual love. Callista glanced at his bound hands and feet, a hint of amusement sparkling in her eyes. "Come on. Mr. Sutton also mentioned that a healthy sex life would be beneficial for my mental state. Apart from you, do I really have any other options?" Her words left Callum almost unable to trust his own cars. Things had suddenly turned around. His heart pounded violently, and his eyes regained their unusual sparkle. Chapter 452. Desperate and impulsive, seeing him finally regain his spirits, Callista let out a sigh. "What am I to do? You've completely consumed me in two lifetimes. I feel such a failure, so unsatisfied." Her words carried an underlying message of sweetness that was too profound, a joy too intense that it almost left Callum breathless. He found himself involuntarily leaning toward her, his eyes growing brighter and brighter. "You're the one who has completely consumed me, you wicked woman. I love you dearly." As he spoke, he moved to untie the rope behind him. From the beginning, it was agreed that the rope was tied in a slip knot. Callista was right in front of him, looking as if she was ready for the taking. Callum struggled forcefully a couple of times, but Callista's consent made him lose all reason. All he wanted was to throw himself at her, to tear her apart, to make her completely give in to him. He was desperate and impulsive, but he couldn't break free. At that moment, the expression on Callum's face was priceless. He never, in his wildest dreams, imagined that Marcia had put him in a permanent knot. Under normal circumstances, It wouldn't have mattered if he hadn't taken that pill, even if it resulted in a permanent knot. Similarly, it wouldn't have mattered if Ulysses hadn't used such a remarkably resilient rope. However, he was weak and feverish at that time, and the rope was ridiculously durable. Hence, he couldn't free himself to rush toward her. Once again, Callum found himself mentally cursing his own impulsiveness. He couldn't believe he'd let himself get roped into Ulysses' shenanigans. "I'm stuck, and there's no way out." Callista was actually somewhat nervous, but she was pretending to be relaxed. However, once she had made up her mind, she had no thoughts of backing out. Seeing Callum suddenly wear a shocked expression, she raised an eyebrow slightly, a sudden realization dawning upon her. "You couldn't possibly be unable to untie it, could you? Didn't you discuss this with Ulysses?" "Are you seriously stuck?" she asked. At that moment, Callum felt like he was on the verge of spitting blood. Seeing his reaction, Callista realized. She had actually guessed right. She couldn't help but burst into laughter. "No way. So, you're actually into bondage play? I had no idea you had such a preference in both of my lifetimes." Callum gritted his teeth. I don't know what's going on. Was Ulysses trying to gift wrap you for me?" Callista stole a glance at the bound Callum and licked her lips. "You do seem quite appetizing, Callista." Callum resignedly closed his eyes. Seeing her smile so joyfully, he just couldn't bring himself to ask her to free him. How could this happen? This is downright disgraceful. The ropes became DMN it. I want to have Sir. After struggling with the rope in the dark for a couple of minutes, Callum finally understood that he truly couldn't free himself. Meanwhile, Callista had had her fill of laughter and was then watching him with a gaze full of intrigue. "So, are you completely at my mercy now?" she asked. Seeing that he truly couldn't move, Callista, who was initially a bit nervous, was then completely at ease. She moved a little closer, grinning mischievously as she sized him up. In the past, it was always him taking the initiative to tease her. At that moment, it was finally her turn to take control. With a silent curse, Callum finally gave in. "Callie, help me get out of this," he pleaded. Suppressing a laugh, Callista leaned in closer. "What if I say no?" Suddenly, she leaned in, causing Callum to retreat instinctively. Without any hesitation, Callista lunged forward, forcing Callum to lie back on the bed. After that, Callista leaned over him, watching him with great interest. "You're actually blushing." She then ran her slightly cold fingers down the side of Callum's face, causing a shiver to run through his entire body. Then, a wave of comfort washed over him, making him want to sigh in relief. He yearned for more, and he yearned for all of her. Callie's scent was intoxicating, her laughter was incredibly beautiful, and her lips seemed so invitingly kissable. "Wait. How could I let our second time happen under such passive circumstances? Wouldn't this become a disreputable past in the future?" Callum gritted his teeth, forcing himself to stay lucid. However, his eyes were glistening. And his breathing was rapid. "Callie. Please untie me," he pleaded. Seeing him struggle to hide his discomfort, Callista deliberately bit her lower lip and hesitated before saying, "What am I supposed to do now? I'm suddenly finding it quite appealing to have you beneath me. I've only heard about being the woman on top before this, a woman on top. Should you be so unabashed in discussing such embarrassing matters?" Callum merely let his imagination wander, and his breathing became harsh. When he looked at her again, those purple eyes seemed almost predatory, filled with a desire that suggested he could devour her whole. "Darling. Be nice. You don't know how to do that. You'll get hurt if you're on top." Callum was spouting nonsense to appease her. In reality, ever since she had thrown herself at him, his mind had been in a whirl. He just simply couldn't let her be on top of him. With a soft chuckle, Callista lightly traced his lips with her fingers. Seeing his breath hitch, she playfully slipped her finger into his mouth, teasing the tip of his tongue. Her actions, executed with an expression devoid of any romantic desire, inexplicably drove people mad. With just one glance, Callum felt as if he was consumed by fire, as if his body was about to split apart. Chapter 453. A surge of passion. Click. He had barely begun to plead when Callista's mischievous fingers trailed down from his lips to rest against his throat, her laughter echoing like a devil's. "I'm inexperienced, but so are you. Does it matter who takes the lead?" she asked, while her other hand slowly began to undo the buttons of his shirt. "You were too rough with me that one time. This time, I want to take the lead." The memory of that one time came rushing back to him at her words. The dark night, the large ship, the young man and woman, the tumultuous tide of emotion, and the snow, white figure all seemed to be branded into his mind, reappearing vividly. Suddenly, Callum let out a low growl, his body tense as he tilted his head back. Under the influence of the medicine, he leaned back restlessly, revealing his taut neck and throat. At that moment, he didn't care about anything else. He just wanted her. He didn't care who was on top as long as he could have sex with her. The moment he lifted his head, Callista's gaze darkened. Yielding to her instincts, she lowered her head, biting down gently on his Adam's apple, her tongue subtly making contact. "Callie. Callie." Callum called out her name in desperation, straining against the ropes with all his might. Even as his wrists swelled with blood, he didn't care. He wanted to tear her apart, to punish her for daring to seduce and tease him. In a situation where he could not break free, all he could do was momentarily feign weakness. So, he tilted his head back to look at her, urgently uttering, "Come on. Give it to me." Yet, Callista found herself thoroughly enjoying this surge of passion. She straightened up. Her always cool and indifferent eyes then held a hint of desire. There was an overwhelming sense of restrained passion about to shatter, a broken beauty. It was as if something was struggling to break free from the calm facade, ready to consume everything in its path. Fascinated, Callum found himself increasingly restless. He repeatedly called out her name, hoping to ignite a shared desire within her. Feeling his excitement, Callista gave a mysterious smile. "Be good. The night is still young. There's no need to rush." As Callista spoke, she chuckled under Callum's watchful gaze and untied the band around her neck. Her long black dress slid down, pooling around her kneeling knees. The sight of her naked body took Callum's breath away. His mind went blank for a moment, and in the end, only one sentence filled his entire consciousness. The breathtakingly beautiful body before me is mine. Only I can touch it. Callista gathered her loose, flowing hair, revealing her impressive curves. Are you satisfied with what you're seeing? Callum watched her, utterly captivated. His body was wound tight to the brink as if the slightest touch would break him. His gaze grew increasingly intense, and his breathing became more and more ragged. Valum made a soother and then massed time 19 Lakamahan Harmad make her experience the torment of desire before claiming her fiercely. Callista lowered her gaze, her fingers moving with a grace akin to a bestowed blessing. She unbuttoned his shirt slowly, revealing a set of abs glistening with a thin layer of sweat and the smooth lines of his V-shaped torso. Her fingers lingered on the belt as she tested his patience. Callum tilted his head back, gasping for breath. He had been holding back for so long that he felt a throbbing pain, presumably from his prostate. Yet, Callista was moving at such a leisurely pace that it was driving him to the brink of insanity. Her violet eyes were soaked with a misty sheen, and the lips she bit down on so hard revealed traces of blood. He wanted nothing but her to pick up her pace. Callista didn't keep him waiting for long, even though her actions were deliberately slow. She unlocked his desire, causing Callum to stiffen impatiently, letting out a sultry, muffled groan. "Hurry up," he urged in a hushed and husky tone. Callista was momentarily stirred by his voice, and she cast him a glance. She hadn't fully undressed them both, and the lower part of her body was concealed by a long skirt, leaving nothing in view. Then, in an alluring manner, she took off her underwear. When Callum watched as Callista casually flicked a small piece of fabric to the ground with her fingertips, he could almost hear the sound of his own sanity shattering into pieces. His eyes seemed as if they could see through her dress, picturing the wild scene underneath, causing his body to become even more flushed and rigid. They both emitted a soft quiver when their bodies pressed against each other. Callista looked at him in a daze, suddenly breaking the silence. "Actually, I had a hunch that you were plotting something against me. At first, I didn't want to come. I didn't want to take that step, allowing you to shatter my defenses once again." Her words gradually restored Callum's sanity. He shifted uncomfortably, tilting his head back to ask hoarsely, "Then why did you come?" This question elicited a look of profound helplessness from Callista, and her eyes were filled with complexity. "Because the thought of you meticulously preparing everything and me not showing up, knowing how disappointed you would be, somehow, I just couldn't help myself." Callum was taken aback. Callista propped herself up with her hands on either side of him. Her body was arched in an exquisite curve above him. Her eyes sparkled like stars, her voice low and deep. "I thought I had completely discarded certain things, but because of you, they returned. I believed I was rational and ruthless enough, yet you repeatedly shattered my principles." Seemingly puzzled, she sighed and asked, "So, what should I do with you?" Callum's heart pounded fiercely. Apart from a certain part of their bodies pressed against each other, the rest of their forms were entirely unentangled. Yet, at this moment, he felt as if their souls were intertwined. Whether it was wishful thinking or a doomed relationship, they were tightly knotted together, impossible to separate. Chapter 454. I love you. Admit it, Kalik. You're in love with me, he said. Even though she maintained a composed exterior, he could already sense that her body was also aflame for him. The realization of her love for him hit him like the most potent aphrodisiac, causing his body to tremble slightly at the mere thought. Love you, Callista repeated mysteriously. Her husky, bewildering voice instantly struck Callum's soft spot. He then groaned softly, his body moving upward, inching its way deeper into hers. Right then, both of them shuddered. Every inch Callum moved inward drove him wild with an overwhelming sense of intensity and warmth. Being inside of her, he obtained not only the ultimate physical pleasure but also a sense of conquest, a strong thrill of plunder. It made his eyes bloodshot, and he clenched his teeth to stop himself from doing things without considering the consequences. You love me, Callie. Admit you love me, he uttered. How else could one explain that despite her clear expression of discomfort, she still allowed herself to accept my advances? How else could it be explained? She had wanted to leave repeatedly, yet she persisted for my sake. Her calm demeanor compelled Callum to suppress his urge to rush things. Although he took things slow and steady, the comfort he felt was something no one else could provide. It seemed as if an eternity had passed before Callum fully penetrated her. At that moment, he was drenched in sweat, yet he didn't forget to comfort her tenderly by asking, "Does it hurt?" I was very gentle. Gritting her teeth, Callista refused to let any discomfort show on her face. Finally, she opened her eyes, as clear as if they had been washed by water, and answered with a blush, "You're much gentler than the last time." Her words had a devastating effect on Callum. A bead of sweat as big as a bean trickled down Callum's forehead. His veins were bulging beneath his muscles as if he could even hear the rapid flow of his blood. "Untie me. I promise to please you," he said. Callista chuckled lightly. "Are you kidding me?" She shifted her body, successfully eliciting a sharp intake of breath from Callum. "You may be able to bear it now, but once the medicine takes effect, you'll surely lose control. Didn't you once say that I was a masterpiece?" Callum had lost his mind, his sanity slipping away from the moment she uttered those words. "Therefore, let me handle it, all you need to do is enjoy." With that, she disregarded Callum's objections. She took control of the pace, moving slowly yet seductively, provoking an intense pleasure that was so extreme it only left one craving for more. That was, without a doubt, the most blissful yet painful moment that Callum had ever experienced. "Go deeper. Darling, just a bit deeper." Due to Callista's minimal movements, Callum was constantly teetering on the edge of madness. The itch becoming even more unbearable. He thought if only she would go a bit deeper, he could be so much happier. Callista's long hair was curled up and stuck to his chest. She hummed softly like a cat, her voice barely audible as she said, "No way. It's too big. I can't take it all." Callum felt like he was on the verge of losing it. How could it be possible that she couldn't handle it when she managed just fine the first time? Every time he attempted to take control, Callista would subtly shift, leaving him with no choice but to match her rhythm. He allowed his desires to be momentarily alleviated, only to be met with an even more intense counterattack. When he finally ejaculated, the dissatisfaction was so intense that it felt like an itch deep in his bones. He was far from satisfied, though. It could even be said that he was even more dissatisfied than before. After over an hour of it, Callista was completely exhausted. Her face showed satisfaction. After cleaning up for both of them, she disregarded Callum's objections, slowly found her way to the couch, and, surprisingly, planned to sleep. "I'm so tired. I've done what I needed to do. Your drug effects should have worn off by now, right? I'm going to sleep first, then," she said. "Worn off?" Callum found himself still painfully aroused. At that moment, he felt helpless and overwhelmed. It was even worse than when he had been unfulfilled. "Callie. Darling, I beg you. Can we do it one more time, please?" he pleaded. "Why can't I untie myself? This D**ned rope." No, Callista slipped into her clothes, her back turned toward him, revealing her fair and beautiful skin. Her long, gently curled hair trailed down from the couch. Her nonchalant tone only intensified Callum's restless squirming. The feeling of unfulfilled desire was practically unbearable, as if it were pushing him to his limits. The previous encounter, far from extinguishing his passion, had only fanned the flames further. He felt as though he were on the being consumed by his desires, verge of Callie. "Could you at least untie me? How am I supposed to sleep like this?" He turned to his side, gazing longingly at her retreating figure, appearing utterly pitiful. "I just need this D**ned rope untied. After that, I can do whatever I want." With that in mind, his eagerness grew even more. Ironically, Callista had only tucked him in previously, showing no intention of doing anything more. This left him in a predicament, leaving him with no choice but to coax her. Callista grumbled in dissatisfaction, "No. I'm completely exhausted. If I were to untie you, you wouldn't spare me. You should just try to sleep like that. If you don't untie me, I'll suffer. I can't sleep. If I untie you, I'm the one who suffers. Last time I let you have your way, I actually spent the entire next day bedridden at home, unable to get up." Before she went to sleep, she mumbled, "Maybe I should consider finding some sort of medicine to lower one's libido. I can't bear it." Chapter 455. A sleepless night. "Click. You wouldn't really do this to me, would you? Please, don't. I won't be able to sleep at all tonight," Callum uttered. Callista didn't respond, which made Callum a bit anxious. "Callie, I'm begging you. Can you untick me, please? I promise I won't make you suffer. I'll just hold you while I sleep. I absolutely won't do anything more." Callum wanted to hold her and see how things would from there. Go. He waited attentively for Callista's response, but after a while, all he heard was her steady breathing. She was truly exhausted, managing to sleep even amidst Callum's noise. At this point, Callum was genuinely on the verge of tears. "How on earth am I going to get through the night?" he resignedly laid back, reflecting on the passion that had just transpired. His heart thumped fiercely twice, and the restrained perspiration almost soaked the entire bedsheet. Her body was warm and enticing, the kind that any man, once experienced, would find hard to let go of. It seemed as though he hadn't truly savored it, merely taking a light taste. He couldn't allow himself to dwell on it. Otherwise, he would have an erection for the rest of the night. Regardless of Callum's dissatisfaction with their previous encounter, he had at least won her over. This was indeed a great start, and he couldn't afford to overthink it. Even so, when Callista woke up the next day, Callum's dark circles were quite noticeable. He had spent the entire night tormented by desire, and the pitiful thing was that he couldn't even find relief for himself. Hence, when Callista woke up, he glared at her, filled with resentment as if it had taken a physical form. Seeing Callum's listless gaze directed at her, Callista finally felt a twinge of compassion. Thinking that Callum wouldn't pose any threat after an entire night had passed, she walked toward him. The previous night, she had actually intended to indulge him a few more times, aiming to completely rid him of the effects of the drug. However, she hadn't anticipated just how exhausting it would be. Therefore, she really couldn't be blamed. "Untie me." Callum's voice was husky. As he watched her approach step by step, a flicker of light suddenly flashed across his dark eyes. Feeling a sense of danger, Callista withdrew the hand she had initially extended, awkwardly chuckling twice. Well, the responsibility for solving a problem should fall on the person who created it. "I'll get Yulisa to sort this out for you. I dare you." He was disheveled under the covers, so he couldn't let others see him like that. After some thought, Callista did indeed feel something was amiss. Slowly, she fetched a fruit knife from beside the room's refrigerator and lodged it into the wooden headboard behind Callum. "Why would I do that?" Callum hastily feigned weakness. "I'm out of strength." "Don't worry. I won't do anything to you. Could you untie me?" The more he spoke in such a manner, the more unsettled Callista felt. She knew that Callum was the type of person who wouldn't appear so dispirited, even after days without sleep. "No. No. You should free yourself. I believe in you." Seeing Callista attempting to slip away, even though Callum was reluctant a thousand times over, he had no choice but to free himself. He had initially thought that Callista would have a hard time leaving the room. He thought that by the time he untied the ropes, he would still be able to keep her under control, giving himself a chance to thoroughly enjoy her company. With such an intention in mind, Callum suddenly quickened his pace. However, to his surprise, Callista was faster. She used the pearl hair clip she had worn the previous night to pick at the door lock a few times, and the door swung open. Callum was left wide-eyed and speechless, almost forgetting to move. "Phew. Thankfully, I still remember how to do that." Contentedly, Callista was about to leave when Callum hastily called out to stop her. "Wait. Wait for me. I'll go out with you." There was no way Callista would wait for him. She stuck out her tongue at him, chuckling lightly. "Don't worry. I won't let anyone else in before you come out." With that, she was about to close the door. "Callista. How dare you? You can't just walk away. He had been holding back all night, waiting for the day to unleash his prowess and show his mettle. If she walked away, he had no idea when he would get another chance to confront her. But the more he tried to stop her, the faster Callista slipped away. She flashed him a flirtatious glance, then cleared her throat softly, saying with a smile, "Take your time. I'm going to have breakfast now. By the way, you did a great job serving me last night. I'll ask the kitchen to whip up some stew to nourish you." After that, the door was closed. "Callista!" Callum cried out, but the response he drew on him. At that moment, Callum felt this was the merciless sound of Callista closing the in his mind. Callista was heartless and ungrateful. Used, and discarded. At the dining table, Wanda had been eagerly awaiting Callista with an excited expression. Seeing that it was already 9 o'clock and Wanda had not eaten breakfast, waiting specifically for her, Callista felt embarrassed and said, "Wh, didn't you eat first, Aunt Wanda? You worked so hard at the banquet yesterday. You didn't have to wait for me. It's okay. It's okay." Wanda hurriedly stood up, even looking as if she wanted to support Callista. Callista was taken aback by her enthusiasm, but Wanda was blissfully unaware, unable to suppress the smile on her face. "You had a tough time last night. Here, this is a nourishing stew I've been simmering since yesterday. Ha! You must need some nourishment," Wanda said. A wave of embarrassment washed over Callista. Yulisa had already hidden herself due to her fear of facing Callista. However, Wanda was different. She confidently offered to help Callista improve her health, and Callista couldn't refuse. "Well, thank you, Aunt Wanda." Chapter 456. Wanda is overjoyed. Callista looked at the lid that had been lifted in front of her. The scent of the medicated meal hit her instantly. She could discern the ingredients slightly and knew that this meal was indeed very nourishing. Thinking of something, she chuckled inexplicably. "Aunt Wanda, is there any more stew?" Callista asked. Taken aback, Wanda quickly replied, "Yes. There's plenty. You drink first, Callie. I'll have someone bring over another bowl, no need," Callista said with a light chuckle, sipping her stew. Her words held an ambiguous meaning. "Save it for Callum. He hasn't slept all night." Wanda was overjoyed when she heard those words. Wanda then opened her mouth to speak twice, but considering how sensitive Callie was, she swallowed back the words that were on the tip of her tongue. "After all, I can ask Callum about it when he wakes up. However, it's strange. Why hasn't Callum woken up yet? Could it be that he's too tired from last night?" Wanda's smile grew increasingly peculiar. Noticing Callista's gaze on her, she finally uttered with a hint of embarrassment, "Don't worry. I've also prepared some stew for him, but it's a different kind. Callie, don't go anywhere today. Just stay at home and rest well. I'll have someone notify the school and hospital on your behalf, no need." Callista hurriedly intervened, laughing as she added, "I won't be going to school, but I still need to visit the hospital. I'll freshen up quickly and be on my way." Concerned, Wanda asked, "Wouldn't your body be unable to handle it?" Once again, Callista revealed her mysterious smile, tinged with a hint of mischief. My body can handle it. I'm not too tired. Wanda furrowed her brows when she heard that. Not too tired? Did Callum refuse Callie last night? Could it be due to Callum's lack of ability? The more Wanda thought about it, the more terrified she became. She decided it would be best to question Callum when he woke up. Callista pressed her lips together, holding back a smile. She said, I should freshen up and head out. I have patients waiting for me. All right. Off you go. Wanda was deep in her own thoughts, completely oblivious to the fact that Callista had hurriedly left the house after merely washing her face and brushing her teeth, barely touching her breakfast. How did it go? Did everything work out? Yolisa's voice rang out. Seeing Callista leave, Yolisa guiltily emerged. The night before, the main characters had suddenly disappeared. When Wanda and Silas were searching for them, it was Yolisa who hesitantly revealed the truth. Unexpectedly, Wanda didn't blame her. On the contrary, she praised her enthusiastically, declaring she was not cherished in vain. When Callista was around before, Wanda was concerned about making Callista feel uncomfortable. Yolisa and she didn't Joe on Cinco Palin Lad Yaval and Musiselt met the Hatter of Har and she rushed over to ask Wanda about the situation. Wanda was jolted awake. Has Callie left already? This child. She must be shy. With a triumphant smile playing on her lips, Wanda held Yolisa's hand and said contentedly. We have you to thank for this. It seems everything worked out. I just don't know why Callum hasn't gotten up yet. Yolisa blurted out subconsciously, you don't think he's completely drained, do you? Ha! What do kids know? Wanda shot Yolisa a disapproving look. Callum has been training continuously since he was a kid. How could that even be possible? Yolisa stuck out her tongue, muttering under her breath, that's not necessarily the case. As they were talking, Callum arrived. After freeing himself from the ropes, his initial intention was to confront Callista right away. However, looking at his own disheveled appearance, he didn't want the woman he liked to see him in such a state. In the end, he decided to change his clothes and quickly freshen up before rushing over. Still, he was a step too late. For some unknown reason, Yolisa felt a pang of fear in her heart upon seeing Callum's intimidating demeanor. Feeling guilty, she wanted to make a quick exit. However, she had barely taken two steps when she heard Callum's cold laugh behind her. Where do you think you're going? Callum asked. A shiver ran down Yolisa's spine, causing her to dutifully stand still right where she was. Seeing Callum so furious, Wanda disapprovingly chided, what's going on? Why are you so angry this early in the morning? As Wanda spoke, she revealed that subtly charming smile again. Turning to Callum, she said, if not for Yolisa, what would have happened to you last night? Humph. You should be thanking her right now. When Wanda said that, it bolstered Yolisa's courage. Exactly. Exactly. You should be thanking me. Don't forget the thank, you gift. Yolisa exclaimed. The moment Yolisa peeked out, Callum's anger flared up dramatically. The frustrating memories of the previous night resurfaced, and his gaze was incredibly intense. This terrified Yulisa, who quickly hid behind Wanda after uttering those sentences. "Where's the woman who was with you last night?" Callum asked. "That doomed woman. She tied me up with a permanent knot. I'm going to kill that woman."
"Marcia,"
Yulisa hurriedly said, "that woman is an airhead and a flirt. Why bother arguing with her? She didn't do it on purpose. It's just that you are too charming, and she couldn't help herself. So, could you please forgive her?" By the end of her speech, she had skillfully flattered Callum. Callum was seething with anger. "That woman took advantage of my distraction and tied the knots countless times. I had to exert so much effort just to cut it loose. I'm not letting this slide. After all, she caused me to lose the opportunity last night. Where is she? Tell me," Callum demanded. Upon seeing that Callum was unwilling to let Marcia off the hook, Yulisa swallowed nervously. "Please, Callum. Marcia isn't even 18 yet. I've already scolded her last night. She knows she was wrong. You don't have to interfere. At worst, I'll just give up my sports car, okay?" Chapter 457. Wanda is devastated. Callum was about to say more, but Wanda suddenly cried out in alarm, "Callum, what happened to your hand?" Wanda walked over and gently cradled his wrist. The sight of the bruise was startling. Callum, growing impatient, pulled back, preventing Wanda from looking any further. The way he looked at Yulisa made Yulisa shrink back a little. Could it be Marcia's doing? Yulisa stiffened completely. That's such a deep mark. Could Callum have been tied up all night? This realization filled Yulisa with dread. If Callum had been tied up all night, then nothing had been accomplished the night before. No wonder he looks as if he's about to explode with anger. It turns out he took an aphrodisiac, and due to the lack of relief, he's left in a state of unfulfilled desire. "I must get out of here quickly. Callum. I just remembered there's something I forgot to do. I have to leave now. We'll meet again if fate allows," Yulisa said. She had barely taken two steps when Callum caught the back of her clothes, pulling her back. "Did I give you permission to leave?" Callum asked. Callum, what exactly happened?"
"Let's talk it out properly," Wanda said.
"Don't worry, Mom. You go upstairs first." Upon seeing Callum's expressionless face, Wanda grew even more worried. Could Yulisa have caused some sort of trouble last night? But why, you haven't had the nourishing stew I made for you, Wanda stammered. Had she kept quiet, it would have been better. However, once she spoke, Callum's face turned utterly dark. Seeing him like this, Yulisa wiped her face, silently cursing her luck. It seemed like there was no escaping the disaster that was bound to happen that day. With great effort, Callum said through gritted teeth, "I won't drink it." He was absolutely frustrated the entire night, and Wanda still offered to nourish his body. Naturally, he saw red. Upon seeing how irate Callum was, Wanda didn't feel it was right to say any more. Hesitantly, she moved forward. However,
Before doing so, she couldn't resist uttering another sentence, unable to suppress her discontent. "Callum, you must nourish your body. Drink some later, okay? Besides, you're so angry now," Wanda said. Could Callum be upset because something unpleasant happened between him and Callie last night? After all, K-Virus was incredibly potent. It was hard to guarantee that there wouldn't be any lingering effects after recovery. With that knowledge in mind, she looked at Callum with a gaze full of heartfelt concern. "Callum, you're so angry. Could it be that your body has dash mom?" Callum could tell what she was thinking just by the look in her eyes, but he was in no mood to explain anything at the moment. He stiffly said, "I'm fine. Don't overthink it. In that case." The stew, Yulisa was at her wit's end with Wanda. Instead of helping Yulisa out in her time of need, Wanda was only concerned about the stew. Callum's obvious discontent was clear as day, so there was no need for any nourishment. Yulisa was so frustrated that she was on the verge of tears. "I'll drink it." At that moment, all Callum wanted was to quickly send Wanda away. He was so preoccupied that he completely failed to notice the utter despair that washed over Wanda's face when she heard his words. "It's over. It's truly over." Despite his tender age, Callum has lost his prowess. Wanda was devastated. After Wanda ascended the stairs in a daze, Yulisa quickly straightened up and earnestly admitted her mistake. "Callum. I'm guilty. I shouldn't have tied you up just to alleviate Callie's mental stress. I had no idea that the foolish girl, Marcia, would tie permanent knots. I'm sorry. Can you spare?" Yulisa pleaded. "Last night, Callie indeed relaxed when she realized I was immobilized. She even took the initiative." This strange realization somewhat quelled Callum's anger. Regardless of how absurd Yulisa's plan was, it had ultimately achieved its purpose. Callum's expression wasn't as grim as before when he thought about it. However, the frustration from the previous night was still lodged in his heart, preventing him from fully relaxing. When Yulisa saw that apologizing seemed to be effective, she quickly said, "Callum. How about this? I too come up with another idea. This time, there surely won't be any problems, and Callista will definitely fall for it. What do you think?" A pang of discomfort flickered across Callum's brow when he heard Yulisa was about to offer another suggestion. The agony of the previous night was still vivid in his memory, and it took considerable restraint not to throw this troublemaker out. "Enough. I don't need your suggestions. Just behave yourself." With that, he tossed the brand new car keys from his pocket to her, his voice icy as he said, "A promise is a promise. This is yours now." When Yulisa received the keys, she was a bit stunned. She wondered what exactly had happened the previous night. If things didn't go as planned, why would Callum give me this incredibly expensive sports car? After all, he was tied up the entire night. Could it be that Callum has a dormant masochistic streak? Before she could fully comprehend, Callum lightly tapped her forehead and said, "Stop daydreaming. Also, you must never speak of what happened last night." Yulisa was jolted awake, and she began to giggle foolishly while holding the keys. After all, she had gotten her beloved car. "I'm absolutely smitten with you, Callum. How can you be so handsome? Don't worry. I swear I won't breathe a word about what happened last night. Also, don't worry. Marcia also won't say anything." After saying that, Yulisa's smile suddenly froze. She glanced at Callum from head to toe, and in an instant, she was struck by a realization. 9:30, 10:52, Wednesday, June 19, GM. Wait. Callum. Yulisa glanced at the keys before she looked at Callum. Her voice was hesitant and peculiar when she said, "You were tied up all night yesterday, and yet you're giving me a gift. Could it be that when you were tied up, she took advantage of?" Chapter 458. Get me some more. Before she could even finish her sentence, Callum's hand was already covering her mouth. As Yulisa looked up, she saw Callum glaring at her fiercely. "Shut up," he demanded, "that's indeed the case." After being let go, Yulisa was stunned momentarily, and she suddenly burst into hearty laughter. Yulisa laughed so hard that tears were streaming down her face, and she couldn't help but let it all out. "Gosh! How could this be so hilarious? The brilliant and invincible young master of the Fairchild family, seen as unreachable in the eyes of outsiders, was tied up and dominated by a woman. Ha ha! No. I must calm myself down. My stomach is hurting from laughing so hard." The more she laughed, the darker Callum's expression became. "Have you had enough of laughing?" he asked through gritted teeth. "Yes. Yes." Yulisa responded as she wiped her tears. A vivid, indescribable image formed in her mind. Callum was dominated. It wasn't until Callum was so furious that he seemed ready to have his hair stand on end that Yulisa finally forced herself to hold back her laughter. Regardless of whether Callum was dominated, he was her provider. Hence, she had to restrain herself. She fought hard to maintain her composure, striving to keep a serious face. However, this only resulted in her expression becoming even more peculiar. "Callum, don't worry. I swear I won't breathe a word of this matter, even unto death." She covered her mouth, stifling a laugh before continuing in a serious tone, "Moreover, you must have had a great time last night. That drug is quite expensive, and it is said to enhance and amplify desires while keeping one lucid. It's also harmless. For a man, taking it once a month won't cause any harm. Last night." Yulisa's voice trailed off. Although he was dominated, he still had a great time, right? With that in mind, she sent him a flirtatious glance. In truth, he was on cloud nine, yet he was also bursting with frustration. Callum's originally angry expression subtly shifted because of her single sentence. "Did you say that drug is completely harmless to people?" he asked. "Yes." Yulisa assured enthusiastically. "That drug was originally designed to fix women's lack of sexual desire. It was prepared by the inventor for his wife. Women can take it periodically in smaller doses, and it's even said to enhance beauty and regulate hormones. Now, the inventor is sexually satisfied, so theoretically, it's even better for women to take it. It allows them to fully bask in the nourishment of love, becoming more and more beautiful." Suddenly, Callum grabbed her, pulled her closer, and asked in a hushed tone. "In that case, get me some more."
"Why?"
Yulisa looked at him curiously. "Callista has already made her move. What else could you be? Just get it done already, will you? Why all the unnecessary chatter?" The night before, Callie had intentionally played hard to get, making him go through a tough time. He was determined to make her beg him in tears just once. Yulisa looked at Callum with a puzzled expression. If Callista has already taken the initiative, it means that there's no issue between them. So why would Callum still need the drug? Suddenly, a shocking thought crossed her mind. "Callum, you're not getting addicted to being all tied up and drugged, wanting to go through it a few more times, are you? Get lost." Fuming, Callum glared at her. "If you continue with your nonsense, I'll have your father deal with you." Yulisa hastily covered her mouth, not daring to utter a single word. She wasn't afraid of many things, but her stern father was an exception. If he found out she had asked Callum for such an expensive sports car, he would definitely be furious with her. "Don't worry. I'll definitely do as you've asked. It's just a few pills, right? Consider it done. But please, don't tell my dad about this. He would beat me to a pulp." Yulisa made a frightened expression. Callum glanced at her and snorted. "Go ahead. Keep pretending." The reason Callista had to go to the hospital that day, aside from having scheduled patients, was to engage in an academic exchange at another private institution. Ever since the last press conference, the public had been ravenous for any news about Callista. Her whereabouts were as coveted as a celebrity poker player's, fetching sky-high prices. Despite the countless people who wished to thank or meet Callista, it was impossible. She was just too much of a homebody, always out of sight. She was either at Fairchild Manor or in a hospital under the protection of the Fairchild family. She didn't give anyone the slightest opportunity to take advantage of her situation. This time, the reason Westridge Private Hospital was able to get Callista to go was because her mentor had called her, inviting her over. So, in the afternoon, Callista headed to Westridge Private Hospital. Darren Newell, the hospital director, and his team had been waiting for her arrival. The reception was akin to welcoming a government official for an inspection. Callista was unfazed. Her demeanor was composed and generous, which made her quite likable. After being welcomed inside, Darren personally accompanied her. Many experts and professors, all significantly older than Callista, followed suit. It was quite an imposing crowd. Due to Callista's low profile, many people, unable to find her, had grown fond of the Fairchild family, creating immense value. Therefore, whether it was Callista of the Fairchild family, they were both in their prime. Naturally, one had to be extremely cautious when dealing with Callista. The lobby was bustling with people coming and going. Many of the city's notable figures chose to seek medical attention there rather than visit the public hospitals. As Callista ascended the grand spiral staircase of the hall, she listened to Darren describing his hospital. Just then, a person descending the stairs came into view. Callista's steps faltered as she caught sight of the person's face. "It's you. the other party recognized her first. However, due to Callista's unique status at the moment, Mirabelle was rather wise, suppressing all the anger in her heart. She only uttered two words and did not continue to speak. Just as Callista decided to ignore her and pass her by, Mirabelle suddenly asked in a hushed voice, "Could we step aside for a chat?" Someone grabbed her arm in the hallway, so Callista had no choice but to turn around. She looked at Mirabelle somewhat helplessly and replied, "I really don't have anything to say to you." Darren stood off to the side, somewhat perplexed. "Ms. Stafford, who is this?" Before Callista could respond to him, Mirabelle had already drawn Callista's attention back to her. "How could there be nothing to talk about? After all, we've known each other for over a decade. Or is it that you now feel too superior to exchange a few words with us ordinary folks?" Mirabelle asked. Upon hearing Mirabelle's words, Darren felt a bit awkward standing off to the side. He responded with a smile, "Since Ms. Stafford has run into a familiar face, feel free to chat. I will wait for you in the conference room upstairs with the other experts." After speaking, he tactfully led the others away. Callista felt somewhat helpless. She actually hadn't wanted to converse with Mirabelle. Yet, Mirabelle seemed to breathe a sigh of relief. "Now, Ms. Stafford, do you have some time to chat with me?" Mirabelle asked. "What do you have to say?" Callista glanced at her. This former enemy of hers looked worn out then, her face pale and haggard. Though she was still dressed in white, she no longer had that graceful and innocent aura. She was more like an innocent woman who had been through hardships. There was also an indescribable gloominess between her brows. "What's the rush?" "Oh, wait. You're quite the sensation now. Everyone out there is practically lifting you up to the heavens, so why would you have time for a small fry like me?" Callista couldn't bear her sour and prickly tone anymore. "If you're not busy, I still have much to do, and besides," Callista glanced at the medical examination form in Mirabelle's hand. "You must have just finished your check, up and are in a hurry to leave, right?" "I won't hold you up." Callista's casual comment greatly provoked Mirabelle. Mirabelle moved the papers in her hand behind her back and responded with a cold laugh, "Do you know why I came here? Let me tell you. I'm pregnant." Callista was taken aback, and she immediately furrowed her brows. "What does your pregnancy have to do with me?" Since she was standing a step higher than Mirabelle, she looked down at her condescendingly, finding her a bit perplexing. A flash of hostility flickered in Mirabelle's eyes when Callista dismissed her as if she were nothing. "Well, that's because I'm carrying Cal's child," Mirabelle said. Hearing that, Callista looked at her. "One-third Mirabelle gave you know what Cal does when he leaves the house? You didn't even know he was in bed with me," a cold laugh, her eyes filled with hidden implications. "Even though you live together," Duke Callista squinted her eyes. Second Mirabelle inexplicably reminded Callista of Quincy's words from her previous life, right before her death. Quincy had said that Callum was engaged to Mirabelle. A glint of mystery flashed in Mirabelle's eyes when she saw Callista's concerned look. She then chuckled lightly and said, "Lady, you should not set your expectations too high. You ought to understand that a man's patience is finite. Moreover, Which man doesn't cheat on their partner? Especially when it comes to a woman who is obedient toward him. Men simply relish in it. Callista let out a soft chuckle. Are you done speaking? She didn't believe a word Mirabelle said. Her upset expression earlier was merely due to the unpleasant memories from her previous life resurfacing. You don't believe me? Mirabelle was intentionally trying to provoke her. Many people were coming and going down the spiral staircase, but none of them knew what they were talking about. They assumed they were just friends having a chat. Mirabelle leaned in and said, "You have no idea how passionate Kal is toward me. I bet you can't satisfy him. Otherwise, he wouldn't be so drawn to me." Mirabelle gradually found herself at a loss for words because Callista looked at her with an extremely cold gaze. The mockery hidden within Callista's indifference made her feel like a clown. I've got things to handle, so I can't stick around to entertain you. You'll have to carry on without me. After finishing her words, Callista was about to leave. At that moment, Mirabelle reached out to grab her arm without looking back. Callista shrugged off her grasp, only to hear Mirabelle let out a sharp scream. Callista turned around, only to see Mirabelle tumbling downward. Instinctively, she wanted to reach out and grab her, but Mirabelle didn't extend her hand toward her. Everyone downstairs turned their attention in the direction of Mirabelle's shriek. Callista had her hand extended, making it look as if she was the one who had pushed Mirabelle. Panic surged through the crowd instantly. Some attempted to catch her, but it was already too late. Mirabelle had tumbled all the way down from the top to the bottom. Everyone had gathered around, and Mirabelle was hunched over, clutching her stomach on the ground. Thick blood was seeping out from under her, a shockingly unsettling sight. Mirabelle tilted her head back in agony, looking in the direction of Callista, and tears immediately started to stream down her face. Callista. I'm already in such a state of misery. Won't you let off? Callista. Upon hearing this known name, everyone turned their heads toward the top of the spiral staircase. There stood a young girl, her demeanor cold and detached. Indeed, it was Callista. Mirabelle's tears continued to fall relentlessly when she saw Callista keeping mum. This is Mr. Huntington's first child. He wanted to have a shotgun wedding. Callista, why you're ruthless. Even though Mirabelle was in extreme pain, she still gritted her teeth and spoke to everyone, word by word. Her words caused many to regard Callista with disapproving looks. A doctor rushed over to assist Mirabelle, who conveniently collapsed weakly into the doctor's arms. Chapter 460. Make her bleed. Mirabelle had initially decided to have an abortion. The man from the Huntington family was a playboy, and they weren't a suitable match. If it wasn't for her family, she would never associate herself with such an individual. However, being with him was already pushing her limits. She couldn't bring herself to bear his child. In her lifetime, she only wanted to have a child with one man, but Callista had stolen him away. When Mirabelle caught sight of Callista Carlier, she believed it to be divine intervention. Callista had stolen her lover, and in return, she was determined to tarnish Callista's reputation with the accusation of murder, a stain that would last a lifetime. The noise around them was growing louder and louder. To prevent Callista from having the chance to argue, Mirabelle seized the opportunity before Callista could react. Clutching her stomach, Mirabelle pleaded to the young doctor who was holding her, "Please, save me. I can't hold." Upon hearing this, the doctor quickly wanted to bring her away. On much longer, at that moment, a deep voice filled with anger resonated, drawing the attention of the confused crowd. "What's going on? Callum." When Mirabelle saw Callum, a sense of grievance involuntarily shone in her eyes. Initially, when Callum was harsh toward her, even wanting to kill her, she harbored hatred for this man. However, after losing Callum's protection, she encountered a myriad of different men. In the end, she realized that there truly weren't many men as upright as Callum. Those men, one after another, desired nothing more than to toy with her, to possess her. Even if they had given her something of substance, they demanded even more in return. It was only Callum who had persistently protected her for over a decade. Her smooth sailing life in the past years was all because of this man. Mirabelle turned her head to look at Callum before shifting her gaze toward the young doctor holding her. "No. I'm not leaving. I'm not leaving," she said to the doctor. "No. Your current condition requires immediate treatment." "No. Let me go." Lum had already brushed past the young doctor, had no choice but to let go. At that moment, Mirabelle, not even sparing her a glance as he headed toward the stairs. Callista pursed his lips, slowly descending the stairs. A crowd of about 10 to 20 people had gathered below. After a few minutes of confusion, they gradually understood what had happened. The recent talk of the town, the medical genius, had pushed a pregnant woman down from the upper floor. The crucial point was that after she had pushed someone and caused that person to bleed, she showed no signs of panic or guilt. Her cold, bloodedness left everyone dumbfounded. "So this is Callista. She's quite pretty, but her heart is rather ruthless. She pushed someone from such a height? Is she not afraid of killing someone? Look at her. The young lady is in tears, and she doesn't even bat an eyelid. Such a stony heart. She's truly frightening. Damn it. Who would have thought such a seemingly quiet and gentle woman could have such a ruthless demeanor?" As Callista went further down, the whispers and gossip around her became more prevalent. She furrowed her brows and was about to say something. However, Callum said coldly, "In a situation where the truth is still unclear, you all are speaking recklessly. Are you trying to provoke me into suing you for defamation?" His assertive question silenced the murmuring crowd, their faces flushed with embarrassment. However, among them, a girl who was unafraid of authority couldn't stand it any longer. Seeing Callum publicly defending Callista, she couldn't just sit back and watch. "What are you implying, Mr. Fairchild? We all saw her pushing the person down the stairs. Are you suggesting that stating this fact is slander? That woman's child is surely lost now. She's committed murder. And you're saying we can't even talk about it?" The girl was filled with righteous indignation as she picked up a few medical reports from the ground. "Look at this. The child is only 2 months old. Callista has crossed the line. We must call the police and have her arrested." Callum was about to retort with a cold huff, but Callista quickly stopped him by saying, "I'm fine." Callista then looked at Mirabelle, who was still bleeding yet refused to leave. In a serious tone, she said, "I didn't push her. She fell on purpose. I tried to catch her, but she didn't reach out to me. I don't know why she did that, but she probably didn't want the child." Callista's words stirred up resentment among everyone, especially the girl with a strong sense of justice. Upon hearing those words, she shouted, "How could anyone deliberately harm their own child? If you're trying to absolve yourself, at least come up with a better excuse." Callista calmly said, "If you want to know, just ask her doctor. It's clearly not normal for her to have had so check, UPS in just 2 months. If you're wondering why she was at the hospital, her doctor would be many the one to ask." Her composed words left Mirabelle a bit flustered. That doctor was her personal physician, but in this day and age, money was power. If Callista really went to see that doctor, she feared her secret might be exposed, especially since she hadn't had the chance to coordinate her story with the doctor yet. When Mirabelle heard those words, her expression grew increasingly desolate. In the end, she broke down, crying uncontrollably while gazing toward Callum. "Yes. I wanted to terminate this pregnancy, and I deliberately felt this matter has nothing to do with Kalik. Kal, don't blame her." As Mirabelle spoke, she stumbled her way toward Callum. Her dress was stained with blood, a sight that was dramatically intense. Callum watched her, narrowing his eyes, remaining silent, seeing that Callum didn't express the same disgust toward her as he used to. Mirabelle was overjoyed. Suddenly, the pain in her lower abdomen didn't seem as intense. She moved closer to him, and her gaze revealed a hint of infatuation. It was an infatuation for him and for power.